Good morning, Church. This is an unusual experience for me. It's about 35 years since I last preached to a video camera, so please bear with me. And I hope we have a time where we can worship God together and maybe learn something for the future. I'd like to speak today about the way of generosity. Our series on discipleship has looked at different people and their life experience, things they've learnt, and examples that they have set us. I'd like to think that we would all want to become generous people. A few months ago, I was given a handmade bracelet. I was delighted to receive it, not because I needed one, but because it was a generous-hearted gift from a child. I came across a saying this week. It said, "Never forget, when a child gives you a gift, even if it's a flower they've just picked, in their eyes, they're choosing to give you the most precious thing they have to give." I like to think that when we give of ourselves to God, He receives it in much the same way. So that bracelet really introduces what I want to share this morning about the way of following Jesus, and how our heart changes and grows in response to God's great love and the many ways we experience His touch in our lives. We love Him more and give Him more of our very selves. So, meet two sisters, their brother, and Jesus in the village of Bethany. I'm going to read from John's Gospel, chapter 11. Just a couple of verses, and then into chapter 12, the first 8 verses. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. And then we move forward into chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honour. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." There's an interesting little snippet there that John includes about Judas and his character, his behaviour. But I want to concentrate today on Mary particularly. What is a disciple? Can I suggest it's somebody on an adventure? We can sometimes give the impression that following Jesus is a kind of hard graft burden with, you know, no real joy in it, when actually it's the way of real life. So, discipleship, a person on adventures. Or a companion who learns and is transformed by what they learn. Or a person whose values become those of God's kingdom. I'm sure we could make other definitions of disciple, but those are the three I'm going to go with this morning. And we're looking at three people's stories, two very briefly, one much more central. Martha, the sister who gets things done and who cares practically. Mary, the sister who aggravated Martha, but please Jesus. Judas, the disciple whose character is defined in those verses 4 to 6 that we just read. Now, Jesus loved Martha dearly, and she loved Jesus and gave her best. The end. One down, two to go. Judas. He loved money and didn't get Jesus. He protests about the waste of money because of the poor, but actually he's helping himself. A liar, a thief, and eventually a traitor. Jesus honours the gift of perfume, which has a deep significance. Judas is dismissed. Really, what Jesus is saying is, even if you did care about the poor, this unjust world will always have poor and needy people. You can always help them. But I'm leaving on the way to the cross. The end. Two stories down. We should be finished in time for lunch. So then, now for the third person, Mary. Let me sketch you a story. Mary and Martha lived with their brother Lazarus in the village of Bethany. They became good friends with a travelling teacher called Jesus, giving him meals and a place to rest. John tells us a story and mentions that Lazarus became so ill he died. It's a really sad story in John chapter 11. Jesus arrives too late to save him. But then, much to everybody's wonder, he raises Lazarus from the grave. Now, these sisters, Mary and Martha, they loved Jesus. They loved him for who he was, for what he taught, and now for the miracle of resurrection. Now, we could spend ages looking into all the detail and the meaning of that, but I really want to take just one thing from this story. Mary's changing heart. The more she knows Jesus and knows she is loved, the more she loves and responds to him. This is perfectly shown in the next part of the story, which is Mary's gift. Join me then around a dining table. You might not think it's very PC according to our standards, but the men are sitting down ready to eat. Martha is cooking, and Mary comes in with her pension pot. It's her life savings, her invested wealth, a jar of perfume that John tells us is worth a year's wages. A year's wages. I wonder how much comes into your home in the course of a year. Whether it's £5 or £50,000, whatever the amount, would you give it all away to Jesus without whinging? Would I? And yet Jesus said, Mary is preparing me for my burial, and it's worth it. It's an act of love and an act of worship that is just breathtaking. Well, this way of generosity is very much in tune with the character of God, the revelation of what Jesus was like when he was among us, and has been demonstrated wonderfully in the lives of so many Christians through the years. Now then, at Christmas and birthdays, I often buy Juliet some perfume. I have to be honest, I have never, ever spent a year's income on it. She is worth it, of course, but, yeah, not a year's worth. Now, do you not want to know a secret? It wouldn't make any difference to me if it were Chanel No. 5 or Eau de Canal. That's because I lost my sense of smell 40 years ago. But it matters to her. It's a pleasure to give her something that pleases her. Did you notice, by the way, that Mary's perfume had a fragrance that filled the whole house? Not just a dab behind the ear or a splash on the toes. but a generous, overflowing, extravagant dose of perfume filled the whole house. That's a gift. Well, why was she so generous? Finally, I suppose it's because Mary takes after her dad. That's her heavenly father. We don't know anything about her real parents, but we are all children of God. He is the perfect father, and he is amazingly, stonkingly generous. And we are created in his image to be like him. Mary's generosity is an expression of that likeness. She's become more and more like her creator. If you doubt me about generosity, just open your eyes and have a look round outside. When we look, there are thousands of different animals, insects, birds of all shapes and sizes and colours. There's trees and flowers and bushes. Oh, there's just so much. Sun, rain, snow. All the variety of creation reflects the generous heart of God. He gives freely. Look round your home. How great is it that we have a home? Ultimately, everything we have is a gift from God. And although we may not think we're rich, by comparison to so many people throughout history, we are incredibly blessed and incredibly, incredibly wealthy. What do we do with it? Well, Jesus, in his travelling, he healed many people, he freed the oppressed, the afflicted, he fed thousands, he told stories, he showed us what God meant life to be like, and he even put up with Judas stealing and the 12 squabbling. If we think the time the disciples spent with Jesus was all sunshine and roses, we're forgetting the occasional thorn. But the generous heart of God is shown in how he loved these disciples, the people he met, the people who came to hear him, the people who came with a need. He loved them because the heart of God is one of love. So then Mary has given us an astonishing example of generosity. She gave everything of value that she possessed. Do you remember the poor widow giving her offering at the temple? Nick preached about this a few weeks ago. Compared to the rich man who gave a whole load, she just gave a couple of coins, but it was everything she had. And that was the gift that really pleased God. When we look at the life of Christ, finally, he hangs on a cross. Unjustly condemned. He gave everything. The more we love, the more generous we become. The more we are loved, the more generous we become. When, to use the old-fashioned expression, I was courting Juliet, I bought adorable gifts for her. Some of them were bigger and stuffed, like teddy bears and stuff like that. Some were chocolate and were stuffed in a different sort of way. But I wanted to give. I loved her. My priorities had changed because of the relationship that we shared and was developing. To be a disciple of Jesus is to become generous. Caring for others, giving to food banks, supporting our local church and the wider kingdom, caring about the world we live in, the nation, the community we're part of, the mission work of Christian faith, and so on and so on. Now, a bit of personal testimony. The whole of my life has been supported by the generosity of Christians. My dad was a pastor. He served in 4 different home mission-supported Baptist churches. That's a church where the ministry is enabled and the family of the minister are fed by the gifts of Baptist believers. We didn't always have much, but we had enough. And we were able to share a family life that meant a great deal to a large number of people. Then I became a pastor. God obviously has a sense of humour. He picked on me, and I felt it was the right thing to do, to say yes. It's always a good response when God has an idea about us. Say yes, it saves a lot of grief and trouble. So, how am I going to live? I didn't have savings, but my home church paid generously towards my training and my support while I was at college for 4 years. Then went to my first church in Derbyshire, and the gifts of a small congregation went to support Juliet and myself. And the same happened when we moved to Devon, and the same again when we moved to Luton. I could give you examples of particular generosities that amazed us, but, well, time escapes. I've never become rich, but we've had enough. So, thinking about generosity, I could urge us to be generous out of duty, out of responsibility, or just because God said we should give. Actually, I want to say we should become generous simply because God loves us and we love him. Funnily enough, the more in love with Jesus I am, the more generous I am. Like Mary, I'm being transformed through love into Christ-like generosity. It's what Christians should be, generous. What does the Bible say about our wealth? We sometimes think, you know, well, my money, my possessions, they're my business, nobody else's. But if everything is a gift from God, and everything is, well, a responsibility to God, we need to ask some questions about what we have. How did we get it? Was it with integrity, with honesty? What am I doing with it? That's where the responsibility and the generosity come in. But there is another question we sometimes don't ask. What is it doing to me? Is it possessing us, becoming an idol, a safety net, or even a burden? The more we have, the more we have to look after it, the more we worry about it. We worry about not having it anymore, especially in a time like this, where the economy's not doing well and, you know, pensions are struggling, and what about jobs and all these other things? Wealth, whether we have it or not, is always going to be a source of worry. It can make us kind and generous out of the blessings we have in terms of the time and the resources, the plenty that God has given us. Well, just to sum up, let's think for a minute about the impact of this lockdown. Rather than looking at the problems, I'd like to talk about some positives. People are anxious, quite rightly so. But one of the things I've noticed, alongside all the angst, there are many, many people showing acts of tremendous kindness. Even just locally, round our road, neighbours are caring more for each other than they have done in the 3 years we've been here. People we've hardly spoken to, now we get to know them quite well. We share things together, and it's becoming a nice place, nicer place to live. Then there's the gifts that have been raised for things like the NHS. Gifts to meet the needs of all kinds of people and organisations and situations. They've been poured out with incredible generosity, not just by Christians, but by the whole population, it seems. For example, Captain Tom Moore, We'd never heard of him. Despite his war record, everything he'd done up till this year, he was an elderly gentleman with a distinguished life, and then he became a symbol for something so much more. All he did was walk and challenge people to sponsor him. It produced an enormous surge of kindness, of love, of giving. I don't know what the final figure is. I know it's at least £30 million has been given. £30 million. That is amazing. In our churches, we support our pastors and our staff here in the church. We've supported people in need. We've supported missions overseas and in this country. We do it all the time, even now when the pressures are on with the lockdown and we're not meeting together on Sundays. Still, the gifts are being made and need to be made. We've given to food banks. We've given to charities. We've prayed and we've loved and we've Zoomed and we've cared. And it's been great to be able to join in life groups on the internet, in prayer meetings, in coffee gatherings, all of it. It's been new, different. We wish it wasn't necessary, but at least we've got that much. Well, those of us who are able to get on the internet have that much. Not everybody does. But we're trying to help and care and love. And we pray out of the generosity of our spirit, because God has loved us and we love him and we love his people. As I finish off, I've got four what if questions. What if, after the virus, we Christians decide to set an example of Jesusness and generosity? Now, we don't have to wait till the virus crisis ends. Maybe we can start immediately or carry on doing what we've already been doing, but make it a real priority. What if we take the prophet Malachi seriously when he talks about bringing all our gifts into the storehouse and God pouring out his riches from the storehouses of heaven? What if God took us seriously because we're generous? What if, right now, we let the love of God have for us transform us from the inside and break out into exuberant generosity? What if? What if, like Mary, we pour out the treasures we have to worship Jesus, in doing it, seeing huge blessings as the kingdom comes here? What if we model the values of the kingdom and our King just because he has loved us and we want to love him more? Generosity is a thing of the heart. Discipleship is about the heart and how it's expressed. And I know God has a generous-hearted people in this community. Just imagine what the Holy Spirit can do here. Our generosity, the more we love him and the more we understand how much he has loved us, well, the possibilities are endless, aren't they? Mary gave away her perfume partly as a thank you because Jesus raised Lazarus, her brother. But that wasn't just a resurrection of her brother. It was the giving of the knowledge that Jesus was Lord of heaven and earth, of life and death. There was nothing that Jesus could not do. And his amazing worth deserved the best that she could give. What if? What if? I'm going to finish by reading a single verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to ask you, to just quietly ponder that and see what would happen if we expect Jesus to transform us from the inside and make us truly, deeply generous. So Paul writes, "We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." May this week and every day that wonderful love of God for us be matched by our love for him. And may we see God bless and use us to bless others for his glory and for his kingdom. May God be with you all. May his love and his peace keep you. And may he inspire you to be as much like Jesus as is possible. God bless you. Hope to see you again before too long. Thank you for listening.